And they were very strict about who they accepted for baptism, and they were very strict about things that had to do with serving in the church after you were saved. And one of the things that I never did understand completely was something that happened to me, and I just really came up here telling you something that I didn't violate it, but I always wondered why after the person gets saved, they immediately, probably that night, I have had people in what I call very scriptural churches, they said, that when I preached the revival there and somebody got saved, they ran all the cars down to a swampy area down below the Veterans of Foreign Wars. They had a pond out there that water went in and out. And they would take somebody down there and baptize them at night with the car lights in there. Well, they didn't really want me to know about it. And I didn't understand why they didn't want me to know about it. But when the Bible says, and straightway they were baptized, they took that to mean that right after they came out of the water, you got them down there and got them baptized. Well, when I left there, and I thought, you know, I have wondered about that all of my life. Why are they so anxious to get them baptized right there, right then? Because it said straightway. Now you can run the scriptures in the ground if you want to. And I never understood. But I knew the night that I got saved, I was saved. Because all of a sudden everything started making sense to me. And when it started making sense to me, I said, okay, so the only way I knew to put it across without making everybody mad was to tell them, just plainly. I said, now, once you get saved, you'll understand about baptism. You'll understand all that. And so that's exactly what happened. And because that's what happened to me. I was saved, absolutely saved. And when I got out the front, the preacher kept trying to lead me to the Lord, and I said, I know him, I already know him as Savior, I've been saved. And he kept trying to lead me to the Lord, so finally, I just gave up. He kept asking me, do you feel saved, do you feel saved? And I thought, Lord have mercy, I am saved. See, I didn't understand all this like I understand now, but I was in a scriptural church, I was saved, and all of a sudden I understood about baptism. So I wanted to be baptized. Well, my grandfather was a strict, hardcore Baptist. And he didn't want me to be baptized there because that church gave to the Lolly Moon or Moon. I don't remember her name. Anybody remember that name, Lolly Moon or something? The Baptist churches, some of them gave to this Lolly Moon thing. Papa Mac didn't like that. So he called my mother, who was also immersed. They got together and decided I shouldn't be baptized. Well, I just said, okay, I'll get around this because I know I'm saved. And so everywhere I went, I preached and I said, now, I'm saved, but now I'm following the Lord. And I would explain it to them and I wouldn't preach any heresy or anything like that, tell to them about it. But when I came up here, I said, well, if you're going to go all over the country and teach this stuff, you better tell them the truth just straight down the line. And I talked to the Lord about it, talked to him about it. And if you'll try to understand this, I got an okay. And I just told them they needed to be baptized. And I didn't tell them what, where, when, and why. I assured them that after the Lord saved them, he saved them eternally. And I assured them it was by grace. Because when you repent toward the Lord and you put your faith in his Son, that's when you get saved. And after that, you're equipped to follow the Lord. So, this was stuff, but I couldn't understand why in the world don't they preach that? Why do they wait until after the person gets saved and then they just rush them back there and baptize them? And I thought, I didn't even know what was happening to me. Well, finally, I got scriptural baptism, and here I am today. I'm pastoring this church. I understand scriptural baptism. I understand baptism. I understand serving the Lord. You say, well, you must have been special. I wasn't special. I was just somebody that was trying to please the Lord. And quite frankly, in a lot of our churches, a lot of our people get saved, and you couldn't convince the pastor if the Lord showed up that they were saved until they repented toward God and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that, and I believe that. Chuck helped me a lot on that. I've mentioned that before. But I was saved, and I knew it. And I knew that baptism was important, and I was supposed to follow. I knew all that, but they just zoomed me. I'm not blaming them. But it caused me a lot of pain and agony along the way. Now, this is a cover sheet for salvation and serving afterwards. I prayed about this and thought about this, and I thought, you know, I need to just put out one message and have a cover sheet for salvation and serving afterwards. And then what I'll do, I'll put this on every one of them that I put out, and it won't be more than this sheet on the cover and maybe one, maybe two underneath, but they'll just be three on the next one I put. And it'll cover what happened, why you should be rebaptized. And this church has rebaptized some people that, quite frankly, I'm not positive they needed to be rebaptized. You say, well, why did you do it then? Because I can't look in a person's eyes and tell whether they're saved or not. I don't have that ability. Now, the New Lighters came on the scene in our work and did terrible, horrible things to it. They said you could look in a man's eyes and tell whether he was saved or not. But Lord have mercy. And they were crazy. And I went to one of those churches and found out while I was down there, they were just waiting for him to leave so they could call me as pastor. I told him, I'm not coming here as pastor, and you can let them know that. So they all came the whole week. And then the Sunday after I finished the revival, they vacated the pulpit on him. They were New Lighters. Now, there's a difference between heretics and people that are trying to teach the Word of God. And the Word of God is something that God teaches you, and it takes His time. I want to assure you of one thing. You've got a God-called preacher. That's me. You say, well, tell me about yourself. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I repented toward God, and I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I went to church with seven Catholic boys. Well, one of them was a Methodist. Seven Catholic boys. I attended Mass. I went and sat in some of their classes, and I listened to all that. And I said, why didn't they tell me that? Where I was. And I didn't know what the Catholics believed. I didn't know any of that stuff. As I found out, I said, hey, I'm in the wrong church. And I came out of it. I hadn't joined it or anything, but I just said, hey, I'm not going there anymore. And so the six Catholics that were boys there, I love those boys. I prayed for them all the time. And John McCray, I ain't sure whether praying did any good or not. He was a Methodist, but I prayed for John. These were my friends, my personal close friends, and I loved them. And so I'm going to show you something here that I've learned. And this is one reason I'm glad that all these landmarkers have joined here, I call them Chuck's crowd. I'm glad they've joined because I learned some stuff from them. Hopefully they've learned some stuff from me. But this is a scriptural church. You belong in a scriptural church. If there's any question of your baptism, we rebaptize you. And we have probably baptized some people we shouldn't have. But that's just getting wet. But if you fight off what you're supposed to do for the rest of your life, you're fighting against a brick wall, because God's not going to accept your worship until you do what He said. And here's what He said. He told the woman at the well who said she was looking for the Messiah. Well, that's what she was supposed to be looking for. And He said, woman, he deliberately went through Samaria, which was looked upon as a hole of awfulness. And the woman was looking for the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. And He said, woman, the day is coming. Now listen to the next thing. And now is. Right now while I'm talking to you. He says, the day is coming, and now is, when men must worship you in spirit and in truth. You cannot worship the Lord in spirit and in truth until you have been baptized, because the first commandment that he gives after you are saved is to be baptized. And so if you don't join where they begin to worship in spirit, where they can worship in spirit and in truth, you need to get out of that church, whatever it is. I don't care if it's a pie in the sky church, whatever it is, get out of it. It's wrong. And I love Catholic boys. I ran around with them. You wouldn't believe what we did. Well, they're worse than we are. And I guess that's why I ran around with them, because I got to do a lot of stuff with them I didn't get to do in the regular church I went to, because they were so tough and everything. You say, well, you shouldn't tell us all that. Why shouldn't I tell you all that? I wish somebody had told me and preached something about it before I actually went in the water. But now I understand. Everything's fine. You didn't get baptized by an unscriptural man. And I'm going to talk about, this is a cover sheet for salvation and serving afterwards. So just follow along with me. I won't throw a lot of Greek and stuff at you. This is Luke 3, 22 through 22. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest. They were the two high priests. He said, at this time that this was written, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country around Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. I came to the Lord repenting of what I was, because I had already come to the conclusion that I was rotten, that I lied to people, that I did all sorts of people I shouldn't, things said about them when they weren't around. I didn't have any trouble with realizing I was totally depraved. So I went forward seeking salvation, and I asked the Lord to save me, and I went through this episode for a long time. And finally I gave up, because he taught me something in this. There was no way under heaven I could be good like him. There was no way under heaven I could actually live a perfect life. There was no way I could do it. You say, well, how'd you learn that? He taught me. And he taught me that he's the only one who ever did. He taught me plainly. And I knew it. Now notice what he says next. As it is written in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And here's what Isaiah cried out. The way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley be filled, and every mountain and hill be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough waves shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. That's what he preached. And along came John the Baptist, and he prepared the way for Christ. He was born 6 months before he was. And he went about telling everybody, the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. And he says, when he comes, all the rough things, all the rough uncertain things won't be like this. They'll be level and they'll be plain. Because the Lord himself, you will see. Jesus hid behind his flesh. He didn't hide behind it, but he was sure in it. He's the only man who ever lived that lived an absolute sinless life. He's the only man who ever lived that fulfilled the law of Moses. He's the only man who ever overcame the devil. And he's the only man who can ever save you. He saved me. And he said, forth to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him. Here's what John said. O generation of vipers. There wasn't anything worse than a viper. Because they would go, cocks, boy, when they got on you, the viper was bad news. He said, oh, you generation of vipers. Now, I'm just going to put it to you plain. There are a lot of preachers that are going around preaching in different churches that aren't any more saved than Moody's goose. And I'm going to talk about that, because I have to. You say, well, you could get around it. A lot of preachers do. And I tried to get around it for all these years, and I just couldn't get around it, because I knew I was saved that night. I was certain of it. But I thought, well, they wouldn't let me be baptized. And I'm glad that they wouldn't. My grandfather, he was very hard, but I thank God for him. Because he turned me from a hard Baptist into a Baptist that is willing to listen, willing to teach, and is willing to show you who you are and where you need to be, and who Jesus is, and why he's there. Now he says, what did he say to this generation of baptizers that came forth to be baptized of him? They were going to be dipped. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath, his wrath to come? Now I want you to pay very close attention to what it says next. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. In another place it says that all of them in Jordan came to be baptized of him. How many of them came forth bringing fruits worthy of repentance? Do you know that the scribes and Pharisees came? And they came to hope to add something to what they already had. They already believed that they were children of God. They already believed they were children of Abraham. They already believed that they were okay. But they were always trying to add more to it. He knew that. Give the Lord credit for understanding a lot more than you think you know. Because I give him credit for knowing a lot more than I know. And that's the only way I've ever learned anything. But this is an interesting discussion. It's something every one of you ought to listen to. It's something I've listened to. It's something that's worth knowing. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, since you've come to flee from the wrath to come, the wrath was still in the future, and it still is, and begin not to say unto within yourselves, he said, don't do this. Don't do this. Not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Isn't that what all these false churches teach? Aren't they teaching that they are already saved and they just want to add something to it? And they just come down the aisle, or they believe it's what their parents believed. And now this, you need to follow Jesus and what he said and why he said it. You say, well, boy, you got to put a lot of time into it. Why do you think God calls preachers? Why do you think some men get out of the ministry? Why do you think some men don't? I'm going to try to explain that in a very plain way. He says, say not unto within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God, he said, don't you say that. Don't even think it. He said, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. He said, it's me. It's me that does the saving. He said, the people that I call, the people that I use, he said, they don't have the power to save you. He said, the church doesn't have the power to save you. He said, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me. Because he's the one that's over the church. He's the one that's over all those who come to him. He said, and now the axe, here we go, here's an axe, is laid to the root of the trees. Now notice very carefully what he says, and remember back to where he said, for all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, here's what he said to them. This was the scribes and Pharisees. They just wanted to add something to already they had. The disciples that came to him had been baptized already. He said, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And he told him in another place, for before Abraham is, I am. He said, every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. That's coming. Why do we emphasize baptism so much? Is it because we think you're inferior? Is it because we think that you're not trying to please God? The devil has made it so easy to accept his way that we just automatically fall into his trap. If you're going to preach the truth and you're going to preach it to the people that God called you to preach it to, you're not going to have a lot of people that like you in the work. And a lot of them came here seeking something they could add to what they already had. The disciples came to know what they had and to understand it and to be taught of God. There's a difference. There's a big difference. And the people asked him, now I want you to really pay attention to this. And the people said, what shall we do then? Notice what he just said way back up here. He said, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude which came forth to be baptized of him, he said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from his wrath to come? He says, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. He said, don't do that. There's a lot of people that came to the Lord, that came, and they went to hell. And they went to hell for a very good reason. They didn't come there seeking what the Lord wanted from them, except to either save them, that's why they came. They didn't come down there because they wanted to add to what the Lord had already given them. That's not the right way. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a gift. The people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Now he's just said, and bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. There were a lot of people came to him that are in hell today. And which ones aren't in hell? He answereth and said unto them, now notice who he's speaking to. The people that were scared about what he said about and cast into the fire, they knew what it meant. They were scared about it. I don't blame them. So was I. He said, what shall we do then? Now notice, I want you to notice very carefully. If you care about the Lord, you'll care about the way he thinks, the way he acts. You'll notice his reaction to the things that he was asked. You won't just go grunting around accepting some man's doctrine because you like the old boy, and the old boy tells you what you want to hear. No, you won't like him very much until after you understand it, and then you'll grow to love him. And then he'll have some other people that can hate him. He said, he answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that imparteth to him which hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely correct. There's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. You say, well, what are you trying to get across? And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? We don't want to be in that fire. He said, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And let him that hath meat, let him do it likewise. Why do you think he gave that? He knew they wouldn't do it. You say, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. No, that's the truth. He knew they wouldn't do it. You want proof? Just go to any missionary Baptist church, any Baptist church, and sit in there and listen to them preach long enough. And when you do that, you'll come to a realization. They didn't do it, did they? Now the ones who came forth and weren't bringing fruits worthy of repentance, those people weren't about to give any of their possessions away, good stuff, to them that didn't have any. You say, Brother Michael Murray, they did too. Yeah, if they became disciples, they did. If they wanted to do what God said, they did. But he knew they wouldn't. You say, well, if I'd have been there, I would have. No, you wouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have. You might have now after you've learned all this stuff. You might realize that the Lord had meant something when he told him this. He said, if you've got two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and him that hath meat, let him do likewise. What about the poor old Lazarus and the rich man? All his life, that rich man sat up there, had everything he needed, everything he wanted, and went to hell. What about the man that came to the Lord and said, he said, Lord, I've done all that. And he named it off, and I believe he had. And the Lord believed him, and he said, well, that's good. He said, now what I want you to do is to give away all your possessions and follow me. And he went away sad. God gave them something he knew they would not do. He wanted them to understand, you need me. You desperately need me. And you know how I learned that? I came up here to pastor this church. Lord in mercy, did I learn a lot about myself? And did I learn a lot about Jesus? Did I learn about the history and the things that went on? Yes, I did. You say, well, what good did that do you? I knew who I was following. I knew what I was doing then. You say, well, you weren't a pastor then. Yes, I was. But you see, God raises up more people than me. And a lot of other preachers helped me. And they were good to me, and I appreciate it. They were patient with me. He said, but God had something in mind through all this. I'm going to give you something you can't do. So you think you're an overcomer? Welcome to the non-club. You're not an overcomer. Jesus was an overcomer. Jesus was the overcomer. You never overcame anything in your life like Jesus did. You never actually obeyed any law of God like Jesus did. He did it strictly for you. You say, what, is that why you spend so much time on people in baptism, telling them they need to be rebaptized? Yes. You say, well, did you get approval from God for that? Yes. From his word, right here. Then came unto him publicans to be baptized. Oh, they were religious. They were very religious. They did everything according to the law. I mean, they did. You wouldn't believe the stuff they went through, the rituals they went through. You would not believe the rituals that the Catholic Church goes through. I grew up with six Catholics and a Methodist. I know exactly what they believe, precisely what they believe. I've talked to the priests about it. You say, well, what about the Jews? I've talked to the Jews on airplanes and on land in Israel. I don't believe what they believe. You say, well, are there saved Jews? Absolutely. But they have come to understand that God did it all. They have come to understand and accept that Jesus is the one to whom they should repent. They have learned it. They have taught it. They have believed it. They have accepted it. But there's a lot of Jews over there headed straight for hell because they've still got their faith in the same thing the publicans did themselves. Okay, the publicans, who were very religious, they didn't come down. They didn't come. Look up at the top again. They didn't come down there to get anything to save them. They came down there to add to what they already had that they were trusting in themselves and Abraham. Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Notice what he said. Remember what the publicans did? They collected all the money. You ever read the newspapers? Do you see that mess going up on in Washington? You say, well, you don't preach very much about it. I just quit preaching about it. If you want to see a bunch of publicans up there that are collecting more than they should and cheating the people, it's not just there, it's everywhere. He says, Master, what shall we do? He gave them something to do. And they had come there seeking to add to something they already had. Can you imagine what they thought when he said, exact no more than that which is appointed you? He knew what they were doing. He knew exactly what they were doing. You say, well, you just don't know what you're talking about. I do know what I'm talking about. Because it bears out in every aspect of Scripture which is appointed you. They couldn't keep that commandment. Because they were robbing the people. And he knew it. And he said, here's what I want you to do. Listen, you can't keep the law of Moses. You can't overcome sin in your life completely. But Jesus did. And when the people came to him, And they came seeking salvation. And they were desperate. God saved them. And then they were baptized. And most of them waited till they were about 12 years old. That's not a bad idea. You say, well, you're going to start that here. I'm not going to start anything here. The church is going to have to start it themselves. I don't have the authority or the power to do anything contrary to the word of God. Exact no more than that which has appointed you. Okay. Now, here he comes to some soldiers. They were repenting. I mean, all of them came in Judea. It says all of them, but it doesn't. It's a figure of speech. It doesn't mean that everybody in Judea came over there to be baptized. What if it did? Here's the soldiers. They didn't want to go to hellfire and brimstone. They came over there because of the wrath to come, and they didn't want to go to hell. I don't blame them. I didn't either. Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, this is an honest request. What shall we do? You ever study the Jewish soldiers? You ever look at them? You ever study the Bible? You ever care about it? Do you just come once a month or once a year when it's good to feel a good time? Or do you come because you want to grow spiritually? That's the question. And what shall we do? He said, look at this commandment. It's impossible. Do violence to no man. The soldiers did that all the time. They did it all the time. Jesus knew it. Even the hidden things they did, he knew it. Accuse, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely. They accused people falsely all the time. They couldn't do it. That's why he gave it. We don't give people commandments here from the Bible that people can do. We do ones that they can try to do. Because once Jesus saves you, Jesus is going to teach you if you'll let him. But the problem is, a lot of people, after they get saved, they don't want to let him. And that's the problem. And be content. I spent more than 20 years in the military. I never saw anybody that was satisfied with his wages. Now, listen, Imogene and I raised, seven kids? And we raised seven kids. And I was trying to get rank because we had to feed seven kids. And I've got all kind of wonderful things said about me and everything that was ever written. It's magnificent. But I didn't want my kids to starve to death. You say, well, that's no reason for serving God. If you'd been in my position, it would have been a pretty good one. But the truth is, I knew that I was supposed to serve God. And I tell you, the people that have joined this church that come from a landmark background have reinvigorated me because I went through that kind of background. And I loved it, and I thank God I came through it because I came here as a man who had a lot to learn. And the way God teaches you is he gives you something you can't do and eventually find out you couldn't do it in the first place. And then you begin to serve him and you begin to do what he wants. And when you fail, you just ask him to forgive you and go on. You say, well, that can't be true. Well, then we're all going to hell probably. Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. I never saw a GI that was content with his wages. And believe me, I've been in every branch, everything you could possibly imagine. And as the people that were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, and one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose stones I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. A lot of people say, I know when that occurred. That occurred at Pentecost. That's when the church was formed. And that's when the Holy Ghost came down and settled on each one of them individually and also as a body in a holy group. The only problem is Jesus organized the church during his earthly ministry. Now you better think about that. Jesus told the woman at the well she was looking for the Messiah, and she wanted to know if he was the Messiah. And he said, "Woman, the time now is, and shall be, when the time is now and shall be." What's the rest of that, Ken?
When thou worship in spirit.
I can't hear.
When thou must worship in spirit.
Must worship in spirit.
He said, the time is coming now. If the time now is, he was right there with her. And now is when men shall worship, when men must, that's the key word, must worship in spirit and in truth. Well, that let me know that the church didn't start at Pentecost. The church started when Jesus organized it during his earthly ministry. And he told the woman the time now is and shall be, and indicated that that was the time when he, the Savior, would be the one baptizing with fire. But Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of everything. Whose fan is in his hand. That's the fan that they use to scrape up the stuff, the wheat, or they call it corn, the wheat, into a container, and gather the wheat into his garner. Now here's what's going to happen to the people that came seeking with their own righteousness. But the chaff will he burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife and life, he didn't pay attention to it. He didn't believe it. And he was the king of Israel. And for all the evils which Herod had done, he was shacked up with his brother's wife. Added yet to this above, that he should shut up John in prison. And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized in another place, in another gospel, when he came to John, John said, I need to be baptized of you. He said, you know what? I don't need to baptize you. He said, you need to baptize me. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so now. And so he went ahead and baptized him. And Jesus was praying. If you don't assemble and worship God at times when you can, I'm not saying you can't ever miss a service or anything like that. But as God works on your heart, you know where you're supposed to be. I don't have to tell you. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's what got me saved, his grace. I accepted his grace. His grace was the offer to be saved. And what followed it was to obey him. And I don't think I have to preach a whole lot about that, because this church preaches very clearly. Once you get saved, you're expected to follow him. And then we teach what it says about following him. And I don't try to spend a lot of time on that. I do try to spend a lot of time on it, but mainly in the sense of following him. Well, it's 5 minutes till.